Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Does anybody remember the Karate Kid movies? Anybody seen those? There was a remake in 2010, and in this remake, 12-year-old Dre Parker from Detroit moves with his widowed mother to Beijing, China, because of a job transfer. He runs into some bullies. He gets in fights that he loses badly. He is lonely and miserable. But he gets to know the building maintenance man, whose name is Mr. Han, played by the martial artist Jackie Chan, and finds out that Mr. Han is a martial arts master, and Mr. Han agrees to teach Dre Kung Fu so that he can defend himself. The practice with Mr. Han is nothing like Dre expects it to be. For hours each day, it seems like all Mr. Han is willing to work on is this bad habit that Dre has, because when Dre walks in the door, he throws his coat on the floor, and his mother's always telling him, pick it up. Mr. Han has overheard this. So every day he goes to practice at Mr. Han's, all he is doing is hanging up his coat. He says, pick up your coat, hang it up, put it on, take it off, put it on the ground, pick it up, hang it up, put it on, take it off, put it on the ground, and repeat. And eventually he just becomes exasperated, and he wants to learn Kung Fu, but all Mr. Han is doing is focusing on this one thing, so he gets ready to walk away in frustration. And that is when Mr. Han takes his jacket away and asks him to make the same moves he has been practicing with the coat without the coat. Dre is bewildered, but he complies. And then suddenly Mr. Han attacks Dre, and Dre immediately blocks him. Dre realizes, because he took his jacket on and off and picked it up off the ground, that now instinctively Mr. Han has taught him how to block, duck, and strike. Mr. Han had been teaching him Kung Fu all along. And because Dre was faithful to his teacher, he learned more than he ever realized. The fruit of his faithfulness was growth and friendship with his teacher. This fall, we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and faithfulness is one of those. Paul's metaphor of fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, likens the spiritual life to the organic process of a tree. When a tree is healthy, it bears fruit. If it's a fruit tree. When the spiritual life is healthy and rooted in the Spirit, it too bears fruit. Here's what Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. He writes, the fruit of the Spirit, what happens in us when the Spirit is operative in our lives, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's no law against such things. You can do them as much as you want. Again, today we're going to talk about faithfulness. Before we do, just a quick reminder, I mentioned this last week, these are practices. We are not expected to be masters of them overnight. And they're not virtues, these are not human works. They're not virtues we can accomplish on our own. These are practices that, again, are the outgrowth of a personal connection with God's Spirit. And we develop that connection through prayer. Some of you went on a Lectio Divina retreat recently, through worship, through belting out our favorite praise songs in the car, by sharing community and having spiritual conversations with each other like the women just did on their retreat, by caring for someone who is homeless or ill or in need or in prison like our friend Phil did last weekend. We are practicing the fruits of the Spirit as we are getting in touch with the Spirit. As we perform these acts in the world or we engage in these practices, and it sort of naturally evolves within us, the fruits of the Spirit. And it may be that if we perform these simple acts day in, day out, they may seem mundane, like taking off a coat and hanging it up. But it may be that if we're doing it every day, we're building spiritual muscles and moves that we are not aware of, and that when we need them, they will automatically be there for us. So be in practice. What's fun about talking about faithfulness is there are so many ways we can practice faithfulness. We can be faithful to God. We can be faithful to each other. We can even be faithful to a Christian tradition that enhances faith and community and that serves. And, you know, I was thinking, well, if we dial it back a little bit, what is Paul referring to here? Well, not surprisingly, the root of the word faithfulness is faith. And faith in English can mean a lot of things, including the idea of blind faith, sort of what some people do when they don't know what else to do, or in a negative sense, when they're very gullible. You've heard of people who are gullible who have blind faith. But that's not at all what's implied here. Faith in New Testament Greek includes the idea, because that was the language that the New Testament was written in. In New Testament Greek, it includes the idea of trust. Trust is a part of faith, and trust is relational. And faithfulness points to a kind of trust and fidelity, a kind of devotion and commitment. I was sitting in a coffee shop thinking through this message, and I thought, well, gosh, there are so many faithful saints to talk about in the world. There's like Mother Teresa, there's Saint Francis. There are these heroes, and I thought, but what about closer to home? And I thought about our dear elder who has passed away, Ed Pollack, who worshiped here and helped us start the church here. And Ed was the son of missionaries that lived in the Ethiopia, Sudan. His father, Ted's biography is over. There's copies of it in the other building there if you want to read about Ted's ministry. He was a missionary for decades in the Ethiopia, Sudan. And Ed, his son, again, who was our elder here, shared with me that after decades in the field, his dad, Ted, retired to New York State. And instead of attempting to live whatever comfortable life he could live in New York, he instead lived off just a portion of the little that he had. And I think it was that he was living off his missionary pension and giving all his Social Security away to the missionary field, or vice versa. Ed himself had a dream of building a desperately needed library for a seminary in Ethiopia. In Ethiopia, there are literally tens of thousands of Ethiopians clamoring, crying out for churches and pastors, as opposed to here where churches are literally competing for a smaller basket of demographics. Over there, they're crying out, please come serve us. And the church is overwhelmed not being able to supply them with pastors. And at this time, there was no library at the seminary through which they could train them. So Ed caught this vision of collecting books and packing them and sending them over there. Along with the help of others, he collected and packed about 6,000 books. A lot of my former library is now over there in Ethiopia, and I'm very happy about that. Ed had a diagnosis of liver cancer, and even despite that diagnosis, he continued to brainstorm on how to get the project done. He made sure plans were made for the project to continue after his passing. And after his passing, his sister Leah, a career missionary herself, assumed leadership of the mission with the help of others in the family, traveled to Ethiopia. They hunkered down during the pandemic. They made it there after the pandemic. They went over there and they made sure to see the project through. We were blessed to be a part of that project too. And I remember sending a wire overseas to a steel fabrication company in Ethiopia, something I had never done before. It was an adventure that he brought us all into. We secured grants from Presbytery. But through God's grace and through the faithfulness primarily of Ed and his family, the library was completed, and it's open and it is operational today, and it is serving people who desperately want to be trained to go out in the ministry field. That is amazing faithfulness to God. That is an amazing sense of devotion. How are you being called to exercise faithfulness and devotion to God? There are lots of ways to do it. I mean, you could help build another library in Ethiopia if that is your thing. You could do that. But maybe it's also opening your Bible to pray and read each day. That, too, is faithfulness. It can look pretty simple. We can be faithful to one another, too. In the same way that Jesus teaches us to love God and to love others, we can exercise faithfulness and devotion with one another. Sometimes this kind of ethos is actually embedded into the traditions of a community. I can't speak too much about Amish life, but in principle, the Amish organize their society with faithfulness in mind. One way they do that is sort of defensive. They avoid outside influences that scatter and fragment their community. A writer named Michael Corrin comments on the Amish in this way. He writes, "The reason the Amish rejected television is because it is a one-way conduit to bring another society into their living rooms." Just very briefly, I might have sort of canceled our TV subscriptions because we had so many subscriptions, and it might have sort of gone unnoticed for a while, but then the election was coming up, And there was a thought that maybe we should reactivate one of those, so I did. And having gone without it, I was amazed at the noise that cable news brought into our house. And it wasn't just the audible noise, it was the visual noise of the alerts and the banners and the special alerts and all that. And I thought, wow, I have not missed this one bit. The Amish know this. They want to maintain their society as they've created it. They don't want this noise. And with the automobile as well, they have concerns. As soon as you have a car, your ability to leave your local community becomes significantly easier, Corin writes. You no longer have to rely on your neighbor for eggs when you run out. You can literally take some time and run to the store. But in a horse and buggy, when you don't have your own chickens, that's a half-day process. He writes, I asked one Amish person why they didn't use cars. He smiled and he's turned to me and said, look what they did to your society. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, do you know your neighbor? Do you know the names of your neighbors? And at the time, he said, I had to admit the fact that I didn't. So there's a protective aspect and strategy that they have adopted that preserves and protects their culture so that they are faithful to one another, they rely on one another for that those eggs or that cup of flour. And this also leads to positive things. On a website, AmishVillage.com, we read, community members will freely give of their time and their skills to help each other. A good example, anybody think a barn might be expensive to build these days? They build each other's barns. The community comes together to help a family build a barn. And this involves the whole community. It involves the raising of the barn. It involves the food. And this is a steadfast reminder when they see the barns going up of their tradition, their community, and their craft that all come together to work as one. Pretty cool to think about faithfulness being hardwired into a community. But again, it can happen in so many ways. I think of faithfulness as dogged devotion, committed attention, friendship, companionship, hanging in and persevering no matter what. I think we have a couple slides here, and I thought, well, how can we practice faithfulness today? Very simply, if those slides are there. Number one, simple, attend to and align with what matters. What matters? Relationships with God, others, the mission God gives to us. Number two, stick with it. Don't quit. Don't give up. A lot of people are quitting church in record numbers during the pandemic. People quit church, and a lot of them have not returned. That's not faithfulness. Faithfulness is not quitting. Faithfulness is hanging in. Faithfulness is showing up, and this is number three. Show up again, and show up again. That's faithfulness. Show up when it feels good. Show up when it doesn't feel good. Show up when the weather's good. Show up when the weather's bad. I'm going to quote my friend Paul Abbott. A couple weeks ago, just had one of those Sundays where everybody was scattered in a different direction. And Paul, a veteran pastor, looked at me and said, weather's bad, bad for attendance. Weather's good, bad for attendance. True. I got a good chuckle out of that. And then the last step, repeat steps one and three. It's very simple. That's the schematic, the simple map. And yet when faithfulness happens in real, that's the map. But when it happens in real time, it can look so amazing and beautiful. So many ways faithfulness can shape our lives. And Paul tells us there's no law against doing that. You can exercise faithfulness as much as you want. So years ago, I came across a video on YouTube that caused me to wonder, actually, maybe faithfulness is embedded in nature, and you'll see what I'm talking about in just a moment, because apparently it's not just humans that do it. You ever heard that adage, a dog is a man or a person's best friend? Certain animals seem to have this capacity for faithfulness, being trustworthy and true. I'm going to invite Chloe to get ready to pull up a video here. A blog called The Dog People tells a story. Photographer Ben Moon and his dog Denali have been through it all. When Ben was diagnosed with cancer, Denali stayed by his side. When Denali grew older and got sick himself, Ben created this beautiful video documenting their friendship from Denali's point of view. The dog is the narrator, and that's key in this. His film is a perfect encapsulation of the profound love and faithfulness that grows between a human being and their dog. The map of faithfulness is straightforward. The experience of faithfulness involves so many things that are beautiful. Our connectedness, our abiding with one another, our care for one another, and our devotion to God, and showing up day in, day out for each other, showing up for service to God day after day after day. How are you being called to practice faithfulness to God this week? How are you being called to practice faithfulness toward others? May we pray. Almighty God, we pray first and foremost that we'd be faithful to you and your call on our lives by discerning our gifts and abilities, by spending time in conversation and community, by connecting with your Holy Spirit in prayer and worship and scripture, in community and service. Help us discern how we can be faithful to you and one another this week. Amen.